Scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. In a very unique way, you might say that the book of Hebrews was addressed for Christians that had been converted through their Israeli background, their Israelite background. They have a different perspective on Christ than in first in the Apostle Paul, and it's very unique as it presents the redemption that comes through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. May God bless to our hearts this reading and hearing of his most holy word. Blood in the Bible. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand more of the glories of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and let it change and move us. Let it cause us to respond in ways of love and adoration that have not been ours in the past. And let us little by little understand more and more of the meaning of the blood, the death, the cross of our Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The blood. What is blood? Blood is very important in Scripture. You might first think, I don't want to talk about blood. We have a hard enough time convincing the world to listen to Christianity, but if we start talking about blood, and that's the center of our religion, what are people going to think about Christianity? Well, we have to deal with what is real. And the blood, the cross of Christ, is critical. And we must face the realities of what are involved in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament says, in a very unique passage, Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the life is in the blood. What does that mean? The life is in the blood. Well, you know what Jehovah's Witnesses think that means. That means if you're in an automobile accident and you're bleeding to death, or you get to the hospital and they want to give you a transfusion, you say, no, because the life is in the blood. There's something, some way, and I haven't quite figured out exactly how, they conclude that they cannot have a transfusion because of this verse that says, the life is in the blood. Well, different kinds of blood. Maybe that's your blood and I can't have your blood. Well, as you know, if you study blood in the laboratory, in the microscope, of course there's O type and different O positive and whatever, different types of blood. But if your type blood is the same as my type blood, it's the same blood. A good friend who's an African-American pastor in the USA spoke about the silly centimeter. You know, the silly centimeter. It doesn't make any difference whether you are red, white, black, blue, green on outward color. The blood is the same. Because human beings are all the same. We all descended from one parent, one couple, Adam and Eve. And so we're all the same, and the blood is the same. So blood is a very common thing. But it's a very uncommon thing as well. The life is in the blood. You don't say the life is in the ear or the life is in the arm, but the life is in the blood. You start bleeding seriously, and that's my life. My life is oozing out as my blood oozes out. This same verse continues, it is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. That's a very powerful verse to be buried in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, isn't it? The life is in the blood, but it is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. And the New Testament says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There can be no forgiveness for any man's sins ever apart from the blood. The life is in the blood, and apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And you know what the world thinks. Oh, God will forgive me. Yeah, forgive me. That's okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the blood of Jesus Christ delivers us from death. The blood of Jesus alone, only Jesus' blood, redeems sinners from eternal life, from eternal death, I should say. So look at three areas of blood as we face it today: the blood of the innocent, the blood of the violent, and the blood of redemption. First of all, the blood of the innocent. The first blood that was shed in this world was the blood of Abel. So far as we know, Adam and Eve did not shed any blood. The first blood that was shed was Abel's blood. Cain killed his brother in an act of violence. How did he kill him? Well, we don't know, but we know that there was blood because the blood cries out. Did he use a stone? Did he come from behind and crush his skull? We don't know. Were there many blows of an axe of some sort that brought his brother to death? How hardened a heart must be to execute a bloody death like this. But Cain spilled innocent blood. The first blood shed of humans was innocent blood. Actually, it was not merely innocent blood, it was righteous blood. Cain's blood that was shed was righteous blood. Or Abel's blood that was shed. Abel offered a better sacrifice than his brother Cain. How was it better? It was better not because of what it was that he offered. We know that Abel offered animals and Cain offered grain. But we know that later in God's ordering, both sacrifices of grain and sacrifices of animals were equally acceptable, but it was because of his faith. By faith, Abel offered a more righteous sacrifice, a righteous sacrifice. You can be righteous even as Abel was righteous by faith. By faith in the blood of Jesus. You can be regarded as someone who has never sinned and never be called to account before the throne of God if you have faith in the blood of Jesus. Do you know of any innocent blood that's being shed today? Well, in Uganda we had a rash of murders that for a long time were unsolved, just 30 miles away from us down in Tebe. And I don't want to discourage you from coming and visiting us in Africa. You're welcome. And when people ask, are you safe in Africa? And I said, well, yes, since I've been a missionary, I have had two death threats, both of them in Florida. I've never had a death threat in Africa, but I've had two death threats, literal death threats, in Florida, in the USA. Well, yes, there is still some innocent blood being shed in Uganda. The newspapers came out every day, victim number 16, 17, 18. I think it got up to about 24. And the police were so frustrated, they were arresting all kinds of people that might have been involved and throwing them in jail without any charges at all whatsoever. And they discouraged him or they finally caught him because it finally stopped. But there was a lot of innocent blood. It was all women, fairly young women, 19 to 35 years of age, and their bodies then were seriously abused. Some think it was because of sacrifice, of ritual sacrifice, to take the blood and sprinkle it over land, and that will make it more fertile. That's the thinking of some people. Well, in the USA, it doesn't take us long to get up to 19 dead people. That's just one afternoon in a school, and there are 19 people dead. They say there's a psychological problem. Well, you know, there's something deeper than a psychological problem or a source of that psychological problem. But the solution to those psychological problems is the same. It is the blood of Jesus that can cure those kinds of problems. In the UK, any innocent blood in the UK these days? Any innocent blood? Well, I didn't want to talk about this with the children, but 9 weeks old. I have a pastor friend who's involved in trying to minister in this area, and he tells me 200,000 abortions in the UK every year, 200,000. That is, today, from morning, tomorrow morning, 547.9 abortions. Innocent people being put to death. Blood defiles the land. Blood defiles the land. We have martyrs in the U.S., in the world today. In Nigeria, there was a case not too long ago in which the terrorists drove a truck into the outside in the back of a church. The other terrorists came inside and forced all the congregation to the back wall of the church. Then they set off the explosives with the idea that the whole church would collapse on that congregation. You know, with the Lord's blessing and protection, their scheme did not work, and the people in the church were saved. But these are the blood of the innocent, not totally sinless, but righteous by faith in God. Are you among the innocent? There's only one way to be innocent, and that is through faith in the blood Don't ever be ashamed of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle said, God forbid that I should glory, that I should take pride in anything but the blood, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world. So that's the blood of the innocent. Now, secondly, the blood of the violent. What about these violent people? What about the blood of those who commit all this violence? What about it? Do you think God does not notice? Do you think God is not aware of the blood of the innocent? Do we worship a do-nothing God who just lets people get away with all kinds of violence and he never will call them to account? Will God do anything? Or will he just keep walking, watching? God will do something. God says to Cain, the blood of your brother cries out. What does it cry? It cries out vengeance. It cries out, and God responds, vengeance is mine. I shall repay. God will bring into judgment all those that exercise violence in this world. A day of judgment has already been appointed, and the fact that people will be raised from the dead. And don't think it funny or strange that people will be raised from the dead. Don't think that is a strange thing. If God created people, certainly he can recreate them again in resurrection. And he is going to do so. And the proof of that is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to raise all people from the dead, and he is going to judge those, and many of them he judges in this life. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword, according to our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And it happens over and over and over again. You have been through wars here in this country, and you have seen how those who perpetrate war and violence end up in utter devastation and destruction. They may create great havoc in the world, but the mills of God may grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. And one day, God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. To Noah, God said, whoso sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Now, yes, there have been all sorts of debates about capital punishment, but there's nothing that in any way mollifies that statement that is made in the covenant with Noah. So long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and winter, confirmed by the rainbow is there, and a part of that covenant is, whosoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or evil. God judges the violent. He judges even his own people. Even his own people. You have a living, historical witness to how far God will bring judgment on his own people in the history of Israel. You know, we read about the exile. We read about the Assyrians coming. You know, the Assyrian king, he liked to, after he'd conquered a city, first he would skin people alive. See how long they could live while they're skinning them. And then he liked to take skulls and make a big pyramid of skulls outside the walls of a city that he had conquered. And God brought that kind of judgment on his own people, Israel. The 10 lost tribes, they are lost. Because God judges even his own people. And as far as the southern kingdom has come, yes, God was a little bit more patient with them. But what were they doing? Well, they had degenerated and degenerated and degenerated to the point that they were offering child sacrifice as the Baal worshippers in the holy places of God. And God will not tolerate it. So God brought the Babylonians and he devastated the holy city. Not one stone was left upon another. And then he took the people and he slaughtered many of them, and others of them he put in chains and carried away into Babylon. He separated husbands from wives, children from parents, enslaving them all. And these are God's people. Now, what more evidence do you need that God is going to judge the violent? God is going to bring down judgment on the wicked. And that's why we need the blood of redemption. Are you guilty? Have you committed any violence? Husbands? Have you verbally abused your wives? Have you unjustly treated your children? Do you have a real hatred toward certain people that you work with? Do you even not like certain people in this church? You know, sometimes these people sit over here and these people sit over here, and I don't know of anything of that sort in this congregation, praise the Lord, but that's part of it. And Jesus says, if you have hatred in your heart, you have committed an act of violence. If you are not loving all of God's people all the time, then you are a violent person. You have committed murder in your heart. And you need the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no remission of sins whatsoever apart from the shedding of blood. So let's go from the blood of the innocent to the blood of the violent to the blood of redemption. Only the blood of Jesus redeems from eternal life, from eternal death. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of the Son of God. Only the crucifixion of the Son of God on the cross, in which he experienced death in the place of people who deserve death, only in that way can anyone ever be forgiven of their sins and be delivered from the wrath of God that is surely going to come one of these days. This word to redeem, it originated with respect to prisoners of war. This is where this word originated, prisoners of war. Let's say that one of the major generals of the UK gets captured in Afghanistan. And that person is extremely valuable to this nation. And this nation will say, we will pay 10 million shillings if you will just release that one person. That's redemption. That's ransom money. That's delivering from captivity. The prisoner of an alien army, redeemed by the payment of money. Now, you're a prisoner of sin. You, all of us, we are prisoners of our guilt. The wages of our sin, what we get paid, what we earn by our sin is death. And this is not just what we might call normal death, but that's eternal death. Eternal separation from God forever. And the only way that anyone can ever be redeemed from paying that debt is by someone else's debt. Someone else's death. The word redeemed is also used to describe redemption of a slave. Slavery was as common as bread in Paul's day. Every household of any means whatsoever had slaves, more than one slave. Well, a slave, by the payment of a ransom, could be freed, could be delivered. And that's what redemption is. There is the payment of one death in substitution for another that then provides freedom and deliverance for the person who has been enslaved. Slavery is still quite common in some parts of Africa. In one case, a father was telling me that in the north part of Uganda, which is on the border of Sudan, and this is before North and South Sudan was created, these raiders came down and they captured his two young daughters and they carried them way up into the Sudan. Sudan is a massive country. It's the largest country in Africa. So these two young daughters are up there. And this man, this father, he goes and he begs and he gathers all the resources that he can. And he goes in this impossible search for his daughters, like searching for Livingstone out in the wilds of Africa. And he locates his two daughters. They are enslaved. They've been sold to two different people. And he goes with what he has in his hand. And he has only enough funds to redeem, that's what it is, redeem, only one of his daughters. So we must choose between these two daughters and go back with only one. But that is redemption, paying the price to deliver from slavery. Now, do you have any gratitude whatsoever to God to realize that Jesus paid for you? He paid, not for all. Don't ask me why. This is God's purposes. If he wants to show his glory and make his majesty known in bringing judgment upon those after great patience and endurance, that's for him to determine. Not for all. Not for a few. Jesus did not shed his blood for a few, but for many. And that's what you read in Isaiah chapter 53. He gave himself for many. He redeemed many. And you find Jesus saying exactly the same words in Mark 10:45. The Son of Man has come to redeem many. Not a few, not all, but many. Are you included in the many? Did Jesus pay his life blood, suffering the judgments of hell itself, when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did he do that for you? And remember that this is the Son of God. This death is infinite in its value. There is no way to measure the value of the death of the Son of God. And you, on the one hand, God determines, but on the other hand, you can believe. That belief will be a gift of God to you, But has God stirred your heart to put your faith in Jesus? To realize that all your sins, all your guilt can be removed, and you will never be called to account before the throne of God for any act of violence, any bad words, any failure of love, anything that you fail to do. It's all washed away in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood. Now, if I were in Africa, I would begin to sing, and I would say, and you would be ready to answer, and I would say, "What can wash away my sin?" And you would say, "But the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other. Amen. Amen. May God stir you anew to rediscover in greater depth the meaning of the blood of Jesus. And may you never be ashamed in this very erudite intellectual community to talk about the blood, because no one is going to have any sins forgiven. No one is going to escape the wrath of God apart from believing and trusting in the blood of Jesus. Is that you? Now come on. Amen. Amen. That's a very weak amen.